Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest running Dynasty focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Hart, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Swags, and I also have a trading problem.
Okay, everybody.
Thanks a ton for having me, guys.
Hey, wait your turn. Seriously.
Oh, you weren't
welcome
talking.
To session. Stop it. Welcome to session 65 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Since Swags is so, are you racing here? What you need to talk already? Yes, Brian?
So I think it would be a fantastic idea if we had Rob Gronkowski on in four episodes.
You know you said this last episode, right?
Yes.
Do you actually realize that, or do you just...
No,
you,
I actually just... realize it, but except last time it was five episodes from now. Now it's only four episodes from now.
Are you going to say this every episode until we get there?
I might. Oh, are you going to shit when he... Sorry. Are you going to... Whatever, when he shows up.
I mean, literally on site, yes. If his face pops up in the little Google Hangout, I may literally just crap in my pants.
Yeah, you know he graduated from high school in Pittsburgh, right? Like, right down the road from where I did.
Oh, so you, of course, know him personally because of that.
No, I don't. But, you know, you never know.
Moving on. I think I said this is session 65. I don't know. I'm lost. Hey, everybody. Swags is here. Why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and all the 16 podcasts they can listen to you on?
I am at DFF underscore Swag, for anybody that doesn't know me. I do Fantasy Football Breakdown with Two Drink, Jason Sukup, saying everybody's first name and last names tonight. And then Rookie Fever with Michael Finero at Artbark TV. And then, of course, Super Flexible Podcast with Steve Holupka and Jason Sukup. So all those three shows, man. Find me. Check it out. We're always having a good time on those. So swing through.
Legitimately, the thing I love about all of his shows is that everyone on all of the pods, like, giggle their way through the show. And like that's how you know, like, it's that's how you know they're having a good time. That's how you know they love what they're doing. They are making each other laugh at every single turn, and it makes it so much more enjoyable to actually sit and listen to. So good on you for
absolutely, man. I appreciate that because we absolutely do. And I mean, you guys might be the same way. I mean, you can have a bad day and hop on a podcast with your friends, and at the end of it, feeling good again. Good therapy.
For maybe. Sure.
It's me.
No, it's definitely, I've noticed Brian, after he talks to me, has a little bit of a glow about him. So it's not just you, it's also Brian.
I'm usually sweating profusely.
He fakes the glow, but...
Whatever, it makes me feel better.
Dude, that's you had me sweating earlier before we started recording. You got me sweating, too. I was pretty hot and bothered, so I feel
so
you, Brian.
It's great. He, you know, he drops Two Drinks' real name, which I've never heard until right now. And he's talking about meeting up at the Midwest FF Expo, which everyone should go to. And I want to, I'll warn everyone that does end up going. If you introduce yourself to me, I will hug you because I'm very excited about meeting people. So I'm going to see what this man looks like, but he will not put his face on camera to the point where you are on episode,
well, you know,
I think it was 148 of the Fantasy Football Breakdown with Two Drink, and he does not know what you look like.
Yeah, yep, just dropped 149. We've got 150 coming up.
So yeah, I'm a few days behind. Maybe, so, like, yeah, I just listened to that today.
Maybe we should have some kind of thing for, I wonder, is my face worth any money to anybody, where we get some donations and then I'll show my face?
I mean, I'll donate $5
maybe
for the hell of
some
it.
Some kind of mark. I might end up being, you should disappointed, do that, though. I don't know if I want to play that game.
You should do that for Fantasy Cares. There you go.
Just
I would be all about that. But like I said, like, it might hurt my pride if we didn't get any money for it. So
we could try it. Like, so it's all like pixelated. It. And then as the money bidding goes up, the pixels go away a little bit by a little bit.
Oh, dude, there you go. Do you know how to do that?
Nope.
Somebody could.
I'm sure somebody out there has to be able to.
We'll do that.
All right. Little back on track. Let's do our little boring fake interview thing just because I like doing it anyway. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
I was trying to think about this one. I think I was kind of a late bloomer, but still quite a while, but probably since about 99-ish, I think.
How is that a late bloomer?
Not quite 20 years, but approaching there, like 2000s or so, early on, you know? Andre Johnson was really cool. I remember drafting him too early.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was 08 at that point, where I had the two Johnsons take me to the Super Bowl, Andre and Chris Johnson. But yeah, no, I mean, I started 2000, like 6-ish. So, I mean, you got me beat.
Okay.
So don't, you know.
How old are you?
37.
Okay. I'm 41.
I see Brian grinning a little bit because he's still 36. And you're muted and talking
to the
mic.
Well, I didn't know what that fancy app you were talking about earlier was, so.
Yeah, I told him I'm going to an Airbnb, and he had no idea what it was. Okay, well, you've been playing fantasy football for a hell of a long time. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Dynasty, probably just 5-6 years. And it's like, made me just not enjoy redraft. Like, I don't play redraft unless it's a charity league at this point.
Yeah, I have two home leagues I haven't let go of, even though I try to. They just guilt me so much I stay in. And then, you know, do you count SFB when you talk about that kind of stuff? I mean, I don't, even though it is technically redraft. And then charity stuff, yeah. So, same.
Yeah, I think it counts, yeah.
All right, well, I guess I have to start counting that towards my redraft leagues then. Have you prepared any awesome or terrible trades?
Well, man, so my worst trade ever was that I don't know if I've ever told anybody about it because I think it's so bad, but it was back when Cordalio, I can't even say his name, Cordell Patterson was pretty cool before he actually scored points, though, but he had a couple big games that Odell Beckham rookie year, and Odell was hurt for so long, and I wanted Patterson for so long from this guy, and I finally got him with Odell Beckham Jr. before he came back. And it wasn't a dynasty league, but it was a keeper league. So I ended up with Patterson, who was pretty much done as soon as I got him. And then this guy ended up having one of the best wide receivers of the last 5 years, you know, like value wise.
And did that guy end up winning the championship that year?
He did not, actually. But,
okay, yeah.
But I mean, it's still a crappy trade. You know, I had a strong team. I mean, I feel like I did, but still, that kind of stuff burns when you see somebody keeping Odell Beckham Jr. every year. Like, the keeper rules in that league were pretty fun, too. So you had to have your guys drafted fourth round or later, and you just kind of kept them. So it wasn't like you weren't keeping your studs from the first few rounds, and Odell definitely fit the bill that year and was gone. Never got to utilize him. And then I think one of my best trades ever was last year. A couple weeks before the Hunt news came out, I traded Hunt and Sutton and got Barkley.
Nice.
Ooh. And it just fell right, you know.
Look at that. Saquon got mentioned. You didn't even have to sneak it in.
I didn't even have to sneak it in. Perfect. Swags, you're welcome anytime.
And yeah, so that one, so now that team is just freaking stacked, you know. And I think that trade I felt good about before the Hunt news came out. And I remember at the time, though, everybody was kind of really high on Sutton and almost felt that it would have been a wash with just Hunt and Barkley, and I kind of gave up too much to get what I wanted, but now I've got Barkley.
And even before he played a snap, he was getting drafted above Hunt anyway. So, I mean, makes sense to trade up.
Yeah,
if you're
right?
Not a Sutton believer, that's an easy chip to throw away.
Hunt was playing pretty strong. I mean, yeah, but I mean, as we all know, you know, like Hunt missed how many games, 6 or 8 last year, and he still finished like running back 8. So he had put up some points to that person who thought they were getting a nice wide receiver attached to it. I'm not really a Sutton guy either, to be honest with you. So for me, it was a wash.
Yeah, I'm far too lazy to go back and actually look, but I feel like Hunt never really broke past like 11 or 12 in ADP anyway. So, I mean, just to trade Sutton, who wasn't even a first-round pick in most drafts, or at least super flex drafts. I'll do that. I'll take your side. So good for you, man.
Even then, right?
Yeah, congratulations.
It kind of makes up for the Odell Beckham Jr. trade.
I don't think anything's going to ever make up for that Odell Beckham Jr. trade. Sorry.
Fair enough.
All right. So what is a guiding principle you take with you whenever you are evaluating trade or offering a trade?
Oh, man. Looking at one or offering one? I mean, I don't know, dude. It's so different because you're in so many different leagues now that it seems like there's just – unfortunately no rules anymore. Everybody likes to trade differently, so I'd like to say that communication is key and just go down that road and blah blah blah, but some people don't like to trade that way, and you might get a better response if you just send a cold offer and see if you get something done. But in the end, just try to be respectful of whoever you're trading with. Like, don't send crappy offers and then come back and be like, well, I was just trying to get trade talks started. Like, for me, I don't know. That's kind of a turnoff. Show some respect, I think. Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, there's always like, because there's another road to that. We all value players different. And there's been times where somebody would send me a response back saying, not close at all. And I'm thinking in my head, like, wow, I thought I was overpaying. Like, I wasn't even trying to be offensive. Like, I felt sincerely in my heart I was overpaying you. Like, sorry I offended you, you know. But so there are those times too where that happens, it can all backfire. But some of those offers, though, like if you send somebody a 2023rd for Darius Geis because you hear some news come out because of an injury, I don't know, some of those, it's just like, come on, dude, like, where are we going with this? And some people do that, so I don't know, two sides to it.
Yeah, I mean, be respectful and, you know, recognizing that there are different methods that different people use to make their own trades is, I guess, a principle in itself. So I'll accept that answer and let you continue on in this show.
But I mean, it's just tough. Like, if you send me a 2023rd for Geis, it's not that I don't want to talk to you anymore, but I don't know how to counter you because we value him so differently just for that particular type thing. Like, now I'm like, huh, like, if I show him what I really want, like, is which one of us is crazy here, me or him? But it makes it hard to counter now because I don't even, we're so far off from the first offer you sent me that I'm in a lot of leagues. I don't really have time to talk to you. If Geis just told me he doesn't want to play on your team because you hate him.
No, okay. No, but I'm going to rant for a second now because of that. We always preach the idea of talking to someone or sending a counter whenever you get an offer. when you get something that is that bad, you do not have to send a counter whatsoever. Because to be fair, you're not countering at that point. You're sending an original offer, because that offer might as well have been a joke. You know, it's one of those, they'll send you nothing on their side, and like AJ Green and Darius Geis on your side, and they'll say, clearly you're going to reject this, but let me know what you want for these guys. Send me a real offer. That's what I want. I get that you're trying to start a conversation, but if you want to trade, literally start a conversation. But in that conversation, you still should be the first person to send an offer.
Unless.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Because again, it goes back to what you were saying. It's a little bit, it's like respectful. To be fair, if I'm bored at work and someone goes, hey man, what do you want for this guy? Sometimes I'll just throw out, you know, if I see something on their team that I think actually works, but like, I'm not putting work into something like that.
I don't feel like I always follow my rules, though, to be honest.
Like you said, everything's sort of individualistic. I mean, and however you feel that day, I completely get that. But
there are definitely those times, you know. So is it different? Like, let's say I'm just going to stick with the player in my head, and I put Darius Geis on the block. Is it different now if you come to me and you're like, well, what are you looking, or what are you looking to do? Because now I've kind of engaged a little bit to the league and let you know that he's available, or do you, the league mates, still have to kind of come to me and send the first offer, or are we together on this, both working together? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, to be fair, you sort of started a conversation out there by saying, hey, somebody, you know, this is a guy I'm looking to get rid of. And when you put it out there, in like, it's like fishing, you know, you're throwing out your bait for someone to come in and throw some offers out. So it, like, in that sense, I see nothing wrong with it. But I also at that point do see nothing wrong with someone going like, hey, like, who on my team do you think you would want for Geis? I mean, like, that is the one point where, like, because you started the conversation. So for someone else to come back and say, all right, well, you know, I'm thinking about trading away these guys, you know, what do you, you know, who on my team would you want for Geis? You know,
yeah, kind of what are your needs, or what are you looking
for? Yeah, so again, it's all about having the conversation, having the back and forth, and not pushing someone else to make the first move.
Yeah,
but now on the other side of that, sorry, Brian, on the other side of that, like, if Geis isn't on the block and he's somebody near and dear to my heart that I'm not trying to move, and you come to me and you're like, what do you want for Geis? Now it's kind of one of those situations where I like to trade enough to where he can be available, but I want you to do the work. Like, I'm not shopping him. So why do I want to go like look through your team and see if there's anything I like or that I feel like we could work out? And now it's like, I want this and this for Geis, you know, that's a lot. Well, send me something then. I don't know. So who's doing the work for what they want? I guess I'm willing to work for what I want.
Yeah, and like you were just saying, that if someone does make me do the work, I'm asking for way more than I would have if they just sent me an offer.
Yep.
Well, and I think the other thing that I do sometimes is if I know a player's on the block, or there's a player that I want, but I don't necessarily see anything that works perfectly, maybe I'll send an offer and say, listen, you know, I'm interested in Darius Geis. Can we build something for Geis around this player and maybe this player, or this player and some picks or something like that? So you're at least saying, hey, this is what I'm thinking of working towards. Is it even worth my time to put something together involving these players? You know, because if you get a response right away, well, no, I'm not, it's like, for example, you want to, and I know you hate this, Russ, but maybe you want to upgrade it at the same position. So you're thinking of a wide receiver, trying to get a more elite wide receiver, and you're trying to package a Dante Pettis with picks, or a Dante Pettis and another young receiver or something to go up and get one of the more elite receivers. But maybe that guy doesn't believe in Pettis or isn't a fan. So it's like, you know, hey, can we build something around Pettis and some other pieces to get to whoever, you know, you're targeting? And if the response is no, I'm not interested in Pettis, well, then, you know, you don't waste either of your time. You know, you don't waste the other owner's time, and you don't waste your own time in putting together a deal involving Pettis. So that's another way to maybe go about it without sending a definitive offer or a low ball offer. Is just, hey, you know, I'm thinking of a deal with this. I know this won't get it done, but, you know, can we possibly build something around this player?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could work for certain people. I know you're going to get those people that don't like talking, or B, just don't want to do the work, that'll say you figure it out. But again, in a group of people that you don't hate, you should be willing to work with a little bit. So, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to move on. Did you type favorite type of leagues in here? I mean, I didn't.
I did not type that.
Okay. Well, clearly you love Superflex leagues since you co-host a show, Superflexible. So, all right. Moving on.
Yeah, definitely some Superflex.
You don't know who the hell typed that in there. I'm going to get rid of that. How dare someone change my show sheet? The news.
Here's the news. Definitely not talking about favorite type of leagues.
Yeah, no, we moved on. First thing I want to drop is the Fantasy Cares Eliminators. Go sign up. Seriously. There's no reason for you not to do it. Do you hate charity? Do you not want kids to get toys for Christmas? Is like, are you a monster? Is that what is? If you are, nothing wrong with that. Just okay. We know now. But I'm not a monster. I hope you're not a monster. Just go sign up for some Fantasy Care Leagues. Go check out at John Bosch FF. It's his pinned tweet. The link itself is kind of ridiculous that I can't remember off the top of my head. It's like ffpodcast.com/game-night/eliminators. Holy crap, I think I got that right. Scroll down to the bottom. There's a drop-down box. We're filling our third league now, by the way, Brian. Normally they're $10, but for us it's $15 because we're the trade addicts. So there is draft trading. I know the first eliminator of ours has started. We're about round 8-ish, and there's been a decent amount of trades already. We're just waiting for someone to pay in the second one so we can get that party started. Good, good fun. And it's best ball, by the way. It's on MFL. It's 17 teams every week. The lowest score gets eliminated until there's one person left. Winner gets some money. Fantasy Cares gets some money. Everybody gets happy. And you get to lose to me and Brian. That's pretty awesome, right?
I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Go sign up. Or
I think it's super awesome.
See, there you go. So, yeah, money, donate, give. Moving on. Brian, pimp it out.
Yeah, so the other thing we have going on with Fantasy Cares, posted a tweet earlier in the day today. This is Monday. About some wristbands that we have, some Trade Addicts wristbands that are sweet. One is like a lime green. It's kind of like Seahawks colors, apparently. Everybody's been calling us out on that, which is hilarious. But it's our pod colors, okay? And they're awesome. And lime green is so cool. But anyways, we have these bands. They're $5 a piece. Get the color of your choice or both. And $2 of each wristband purchase goes towards Fantasy Cares, so directly to them. So, again, help some kids get some toys. Yeah, and wear some sweet Trade Addict swag. So,
swags. Get it.
It's funny. My daughter loves the Trade Addicts t-shirt with the brain. I have that t-shirt with the brain sitting in the chair. And nice. Like, I've got a couple of my own shirts, a couple other podcasts. You know, I don't have as many as Russ. Like, Russ has a ton of shirts, but
22.
That's the one she wants the most. Like, shout out to you guys. Like, I'll be like, well, what about this one? You know, this one's Fantasy Football Breakdown. She's like, oh, no. Like, that shirt with the brain in the.
Do you have a Fantasy Football Breakdown shirt?
Her, so.
Yeah. Well, hey, yep. You can go buy one for her. TradeAddictsPod.StoreEnvy.com. Kids sizes. And do you have. I would have bought a Fantasy Football Breakdown shirt if I knew you had one.
You know, we don't pump it enough. We need to be better about that. But yeah, she'll definitely be getting a Trade Addicts podcast t-shirt. Like, absolutely. So,
all right. And when we're off here, send me a link to your shirts and I'll go buy one.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. All right. So let's get to actual football news. I didn't ask you. Oh man, did you listen to the game night championship, by the way, Brian?
I was studying for a licensure exam, so I have an excuse.
I
did not watch it or listen yet, but I will be listening.
And you will get to hear some lovely, lovely Disney singing.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
That's all I'll say. That's awesome. All. Yeah.
Awesome.
I have gotten many people that commented on it. No one has actually complimented. But people have said they've heard it.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Awesome. So Amari Cooper said he's aiming for 2,000 yards this year. See, it's June, so this is what we have to classify as news. I like Amari Cooper the more I think about it. He was good at the end of last year, and their crappy, boring offense should be gone. I mean, I don't know anything about Kellen Moore's actual offense, but it has to be more exciting than other guys. Anybody remember his name? Linehan? Was that him?
Scott Linehan.
Was he the actual OC? Whatever. He's gone. It doesn't matter anymore. So, yeah, I mean, I am all in on the Cowboys offense. I know you're big into Michael Gallup. So, I mean, I know you're in on the offense a little bit. What do you guys think of Amari Cooper? Is he bottom end one, or is he just a wide receiver two in your guys' heads? I was right.
Nice.
No, I was wrong. You typed something and I didn't see it. Just use your words, man. This is a podcast.
I was telling Swags to go first.
Oh, well, I mean, man, first of all, I'm all about Amari Cooper. I think he's somewhere probably that bottom 10 to 14. I'm trying to think where I put Amari Cooper. I'm curious how many yards he was aiming for the last couple of years. But, I mean, I want to hear a player come out and be like, man, I'm hoping to get a little under 2,000 yards. I'm just not that high on myself.
Not feeling it this year. Just going to, you know, like 65 catches, 950, you know, if I'm lucky.
We got Randall Cobb now, so going to hope Randall has a good year. I don't know. 2,000 yards is lofty.
Very.
But at least he's aiming for it. Corey Davis said he's going to have a better season too. So I don't know. It's just weird talk, you know, and I saw that he said that. I'm not making fun of the news because it is that kind of news, but I think it's funny how we can get excited about this kind of stuff. Like, how disappointed would we be today if Amari Cooper came out and he was like, yeah, I just don't want to get that much this year. That'd be so weird. Just, I mean, I'm hoping these guys want to have good seasons, all of them.
Everyone? Like, yeah. Everyone in the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like,
why not?
I would hope they. So,
all right, Brian.
Michael Floyd would probably like to have 2,000 yards this year, too.
Oh, Michael Floyd. Oh,
I love that man for one reason. I traded him for David Johnson after David Johnson's rookie year.
Oh, man.
Congratulations.
David Johnson and a
That's almost third. Better than my Barkley trade.
David Johnson in a third for Michael Floyd in a second.
I mean, really?
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All those times it was, hey, man, this is the year Larry Fitzgerald is going to retire. Michael Floyd's going to take over. And Floyd had a good like last two games of the season, so it was really that was the year. Yeah, I won the year the next year.
Yeah, waiting in your car drinking wasn't a good idea.
So here's why I don't think this is possible.
Has any receiver gotten over 2,000 yards?
Certainly no receivers that play on a team that have Ezekiel Elliott running the football. I mean, Elliott's going to touch the ball almost 400 times. There's no way. Unless you're in a Chip Kelly offense and running like 50 more plays a game than the next team in the NFL, there's no possible way that happens. It is just not. I mean, you look at the teams that have done it in the past. Calvin Johnson, I think, is the last one to do it, right? Or did he even have? He might not even had 2,000. I think he had 19. Did anybody do it?
Keep talking.
We should know this, but anyways, I mean, I don't think anybody did it because I think Calvin was just shy.
Keep talking. Anyways, keep talking.
I mean, yeah. So, but that's the point.
Dak's never had a 4,000-yard season, you know? So, I mean, it'd have to be more than half of the yards that Dak throws for, you know?
Right. That's crazy. Receiving yards in a season, the record is Calvin Johnson in 2012, 1964.
That's what I thought. Yeah, so nobody's ever done it before. That offense, I mean, how many times did you don't have to actually look this up, but I guarantee you,
Matthew Stafford. Yeah, that was back when Matt Stafford was a 500-plus thrower.
Yeah, exactly. He was throwing 60 passes a game, you know, and so it's just not going to, I mean, if that happens, okay, here we go.
So
ready?
1,400?
So trade addicts. God, I got to come up. I'm not good at coming up with stuff on the spot. I got to figure something out with this. For Amari Cooper, if he actually does 2,000 yards, I'll do something. I don't know what yet. I'll figure it out.
We can take
listener suggestions. It can't be anything that's like
we're gonna get Stompy to make his singlet, and you're gonna have to wear it and recreate his video. Too late. Done.
There you go.
Okay, I'll write that down.
Oh my.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have said that out loud.
Now nobody wants Amari Cooper to get it.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You're going to see some dude's going to run out on the field and tackle Cooper as he goes to catch that last catch of the season. 1999, no!
No, oh, man.
Fantastic. But, Brian, in all of that, like, do you still think, clearly, while 2,000 yards is a lofty expectation, do you think Cooper is a wide receiver one fantasy wise, or do you think he's going to settle into that high ish wide receiver two?
I think he's probably going to settle into the high ish wide receiver two, but I think he's capable of a wide receiver one season, and especially depending on game script in Dallas. If Dallas gets out ahead in games, they're going to grind. They're going to grind with Zeke in that offensive line and do the same thing that we're used to the Cowboys doing. But, you know, if they get behind, and here's the problem. The East sucks outside of Philadelphia. I mean, New York sucks. Washington sucks. You know, so, I mean, they're going to, and they play, I mean, that's a quarter of their games. So they're probably going to get ahead in those games, and they're probably going to run the ball. So, you know, I just don't. Here's what I'd say about Cooper too. I think he's talent wise, I think he's every bit as talented as guys that have come before him. Not Michael Irvin, but like Dez and I almost said Dak. Dez, you know, not the same type of receiver, but I think he can produce the way that Dez produced, especially with the yardage and the catches, maybe not the touchdowns. Cause Dez was a beast in the red zone for sure. I mean, he's, you know, upper teens in touchdowns a couple years. So, but I think the offense limits his upside when we're talking about wide receiver one numbers. I still think that high wide receiver two, I think is very, very realistic.
DLF June ADP. What do you think Amari Cooper's wide receiver rank is?
Me? What'd you say?
God damn it! Listen while I'm talking.
11.
Show.
11.
What wide receiver rank do you think Amari Cooper is in the June DLF ADP?
I was breaking up a little. So I mean,
Amari Cooper wide receiver ADP. Like, what do you think he's wide receiver ranked in June's ADP?
17.
Wide receiver. Do you think he's wide receiver 17 or 17 overall?
Yeah. Wide receiver 17.
It's wide receiver 8.
Wow. He's 11 in super flex. Wow.
I think that's a lot more respectable.
Wow. 8. Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Really? So, I mean, last year, I mean, was by far his best catch rate ever with Dak. I'm looking at those numbers now. Like, it went up a lot. But he still only had 1,005 yards. He'd have to double his total. Best season ever was 1,153 yards. That's when he started to fall in love with him. But then after that, he fell off so much.
All right, so let's play this game.
I just don't think it's feasible.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper or Mike Evans? Dynasty.
Evans for me.
Mike Evans. Yeah, Mike Evans.
Amari Cooper or Julio Jones?
Julio.
Yep.
All right. Amari Cooper or Stephon Diggs?
I'll take Cooper. I might be in the minority there, though. Diggs has been solid for sure.
I'll still take Diggs, but it's close.
Cooper or Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen.
I'll go Cooper.
Okay, last one. Cooper or Antonio Brown?
I'd take Cooper in that one.
I'll go Cooper.
I was really thought you'd like scream angrily quicker. Yeah. That's really the only reason I read that one out loud. No, I mean, that means he's pretty much priced correctly. He's after Julio Jones and before Stephon Diggs, and that's a route. You know, Diggs was where everyone sort of questioned it a little bit. So that makes sense.
His catch rate was 80.6 in Dallas through those nine games he played there.
That's good, right? Like, I feel like that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the 99% that Michael Thomas had, but, you know, that's not...
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
I mean, I guess, but are we saying Dak is better than Carr, or are we talking lower A dot? I'm too lazy to look any of this up. I don't care.
I think that... Go ahead, Swags.
I think that the way they utilize Cooper is better than the way they were utilizing him, obviously. I don't know if it was Carr or Gruden they couldn't figure out, but that sucked.
Yeah, and I think for me, too, I need to see it for a full season. That's and I know that's ridiculous because Saquon, right? But I just Cooper has been so up and down, and yes, I think a lot of that has to do with where he was and who he was playing with and who his coach were and all that, for sure. Because he was a different player when he came over to Dallas. I don't think it's realistic for him to have an 80% plus catch rate for a full 16-game season.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll just have to see where that number settles in. I mean, if he settles in somewhere in the mid-60s, then he's going to have a good freaking year.
Yeah.
If he's down closer to 55% or 58% or something like that, then, he's still going to probably have a good year because of volume, yep. But it won't be that elite wide receiver one year. It'll be, a high to mid or early to mid wide receiver two season.
Yeah. And 4 seasons in the NFL, and he's got 3 1,000 yard seasons.
That's pretty good. All right. I think that's enough Amari Cooper talk. Main event?
The main event!
I mean, even though we're sort of talking about ADP already anyway, this is a little bit of a different ADP. John Hogue at Superflex Dude is in charge of gathering the Superflex Dude. I still sing that every time I see his name. Stupid FF Statistics Pod.
I love it.
he runs the Superflex mocks for DLF to gather the DLF ADP, and he tweeted out today or yesterday, I don't remember when it was, today, that the mocks have gone and the ADP is posted. So, and he tweeted some of his immediate takeaways, and I thought they were super interesting, so we would go over them. Jared Goff has fallen from QB7 to QB11, so out of the top 10. And Trubisky went from QB18 to QB15 to get into the top 15. That's not very exciting to say. Has anything changed for these QBs? Are you guys...
Sorry, I'm looking at who's in this, who's ahead of him. I don't know.
Just read it. Go, because I didn't pull it.
Well, I mean, the obvious ones are ahead of him. Mahomes, Watson, Locke.
All right, so who fell in between? Who's 7 through 10?
Carson Wentz, who's too low. Matt Ryan is 8.
Yeah, I'm there, yeah.
Cam Newton.
Go ahead.
This is the one for me. Kyler Murray. How do you have Kyler Murray as a top 10 quarterback? He's 10. Kyler Murray in the Superflex mocks is quarterback 10.
So I think we have an expert on hand. Is that just rookie fever talking, or do you actually think Kyler Murray does?
I think that's complete rookie fever. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, we all do this enough to where we also understand the hype and the value within our leagues, even if he hasn't done anything. I mean, we see it all the time, people going for him. So, well, I don't think he belongs there. I would put Goff above all of these people personally, but I know Russ personally isn't a Goff guy. I don't really know how you feel about it, Brian, but what's changed here? Like, what, he gets Cooper Kupp back and a target that we're all drooling over that we think that he's going to throw to all the time, and Henderson, and Goff is worse now? I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
I'm super shocked by that. Because you figure everyone would be like, oh, Gurley's not going to run the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball more, which means more points for Goff. To me, he's probably around 10-ish. Like, I think Matt Ryan should probably still be ahead of him. Cam Newton is where I got a little iffy. So, serious question.
If you're in a Superflex startup, Russ, this is a question for you. If you're in a Superflex startup, you would take Matt Ryan ahead of Jared Goff. A 34-year-old Matt Ryan.
Exactly.
I still think, I mean, it's funny. Everyone always says you play Dynasty in 3-year windows. I mean, I would never play in that long of a window because I can't imagine ever having a similar team 3 years from now. So, yeah, if I think I can get a year and a half of what he's been doing, I would absolutely take Matt Ryan before Jared Goff. And if I felt like editing, I would go pull up all of the recent Trade Addicts leagues this year and try and find out who was drafted first, and I'm not doing that.
You have him in a couple of them too, or have had him. You may not have him any longer.
Goff or Ryan?
Ryan.
Yeah. If anything, that was just because I got bored and not because I didn't want him. Oh no, I had Ryan in 3, but I blew that team up, so I got younger. I like Matt Ryan at this point, especially going forward without boring Sarkisian there. So the more I'm talking about it, the more I definitely would take Ryan over Goff.
See, and I like
Goff's anything special. Like, his offense is great.
4,700 yards and 32 touchdowns. And that offense is going to be exactly the same. Maybe better. If you're a Darrell Henderson believer, I'm not necessarily, but I mean, I think so. Here's the thing for me. I don't have a problem with somebody taking, if you're playing to win in the first two seasons, I don't have a problem taking Matt Ryan ahead of Jared Goff. I'm not. I mean, that's okay. I get it. I mean, Ryan has been. I mean, he is in a super productive offense. He gets. I'm not going to be able to come up with it right now. Cutter back, right, as offensive coordinator. So he's familiar with him. He's familiar with the offense. He put up really good numbers under Cutter. So I get it. And I just think Jared Goff right now is what Matt Ryan has been at towards the top of his best, not his best because obviously, Ryan has put up a couple QB2 season, 2 years ago? Or
it was QB3 last year.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, but I think Goff is, I mean, Goff's 24 years old, too. So he's doing things at
last year,
24 that Matt Ryan wasn't doing until he was 32.
Right.
So I guess for me, that's why I would lean Goff.
Goff only had 250-ish less yards and 3 less touchdowns than Matt Ryan. That's not too much. The same with the year before. Matt Ryan had 200 more yards but 8 less touchdowns than Goff. Just the 2 full seasons that Goff's had in the league.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
I'll take that. I'm a huge ageist. So,
I mean, if I was one of those people that was just like, I'm going to get my quarterback for the next 10 years, then yeah, I get it. But I mean, that's just not how I play the game. Like, if I'm in a league that I know doesn't trade, I would absolutely take Goff over Ryan. But
point, like, you're in a league with people that, just because you're looking at that 2 to 3 year window, doesn't mean I want your Matt Ryan in that window. I'd rather have Goff because I'm an ageist. So you have a commodity that, even though you're playing that 2 to 3 window, you have a useless commodity. So your market is a little bit smaller with that player, in my opinion. So I'll take Goff, the guy that's putting up the numbers that can satisfy the ageist like me, because there's more than just me out there, and it just looks a little bit better. There's a lot of good stuff attached to it. You can go stack it with Cooks, Cup, or Woods, and those owners would be happy. It's a good move. I don't know. I just think it will attain value a little bit longer.
Well, I mean, 100%, yes. Value-wise, like trade value-wise, that is absolutely the right move. Goff is definitely the right move over Ryan. But I'm also terrible at drafting, so it means that's not necessarily something I would always do anyway.
I think you're good at drafting. You're too hard on yourself. You should tap yourself on the back. Do it. Oh, yeah.
I did it. I feel a little better. Thank you for making me do that. I appreciate it. Next bullet point. Todd Gurley is officially out of the first round.
I think it's too low, man. Oh, that one gets me going, too.
When should Todd Gurley be drafted?
I mean, you can obviously wait. So I've caught myself playing that game now, but he's a top five running back. It's crazy the disrespect that has came with Gurley now to me. He's only 24 years old. He's got arthritis in his knees. I get it.
He's
going to play a lot.
I just looked at where he's 19th.
All right, I'm going to pull up Superflex.
19th. And there's exactly 1, 2, 3. Well, there's 3 quarterbacks that went ahead of him. So he's 16th in terms of positional players.
Okay.
Who are those quarterbacks?
It was Baker, Andrew Luck, and Aaron Rodgers. No, 4 quarterbacks, sorry, and Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, okay. Todd Gurley. Oh, wow. So Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Zeke.
Yes.
Who would you think is running back 5?
Not this guy.
Melvin Gordon.
Joe Mixon.
No way.
Oh, well.
I would expect it to be Gordon if it's not. Like, honestly, I probably would take Gurley at running back 5 already. Like, I'd rather have Gurley over Mixon, over Melvin Gordon, and over Nick Chubb. Would you take any of those guys over Gurley?
Chubb I'd start to consider, but no.
That's how I feel too. I would consider Chubb, but I probably wouldn't do it.
Here's my thing. If I have a guy that is going to share a backfield, which we're, again, assuming Chubb is going to do with Hunt, I would rather take a guy sharing the Rams offense. I mean, that's really the only place my head can go with that. I mean, for the first 8 to 10 games this season, I don't know when bye weeks are for the Browns. It'll be great to have Nick Chubb, but I mean, I'm not on the Aton trade of thinking Hunt is going to overtake anything. So I think Chubb will always have at least 51% of that backfield. But if I'm taking someone with 51% of a backfield, I'd rather it be the Rams than the Browns.
And it's Todd freaking Gurley.
Right? And if we're going to say that Todd Gurley has arthritis because of his knee injuries, are we forgetting Nick Chubb's knee injury?
No. Yeah, that knee injury was lot worse.
It's the most volatile position in the league.
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting riled up. We're going to move on. This is the first time since August.
I wish I could go by Gurley every week.
I tried. I actually, I'll bring up this guy and then I'll tell you what my trade offer was and see what you guys think. That's a lie. I completely forgot it. This is the first time since August that DeAndre Hopkins was not the wide receiver 1. That was reclaimed by hashtag always Odell. Are we buying this?
So I have a lot to say here. So should we let Swags go first or should I just go?
Just go, man.
Oh, you can go.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And here's why. Okay. It's not that I don't like Odell Beckham and his talent. Odell Beckham is super electric. He's awesome to watch. He's so much fun to watch. He's moving to Cleveland. And look, here's the other thing. I know people have me absolutely pegged as a Steelers homer, and that's okay. I would say that sometimes that plays into effect, especially with Steelers players or former players. It does not have an effect on my thought process with Cleveland Browns. I love the Browns offense. I love Nick Chubb. Russ, you of all people know how much I love Nick Chubb. That's pay true. For Nick Chubb everywhere. I love Baker Mayfield, the player. I love Odell, in this offense. So I'm excited about what Odell Beckham might be able to do there. Having said that, there's a couple reasons. So first of all, when you're looking at talent, these two guys are neck and neck, in my opinion. Okay? So what separates them? Two things. One, availability, and that's the biggest one. DeAndre Hopkins has missed one game in 6 years. One game. Beckham, he's played 16 games, one out of five seasons. He's played more than 12 games twice. So for me, yes, they're both elite receivers. They're both young, relatively. Nuke's going to be 27, I think. Odell's 26 right now, but not, it's not like a full year, I don't think, in terms of, it's a full year in terms of NFL experience.
To the league a year apart.
Right. They did. Yeah. But they're similar in age. Okay. They're both elite. But Nuke's available every week. Every single week. He's missed one week in 6 years. I'm taking Nuke every single time. Every single time. And the second thing is the volume. DeAndre Hopkins is gonna get his in Houston. There's nothing changed in that offense that makes me believe anything otherwise. Will Fuller coming back, I don't think that hurts him. I think that helps him. Because Fuller's the downfield deep guy, right? So they're rolling that safety. Maybe they start bringing the safety back towards the middle of the field instead of over on Nuke's side a little bit. So, and he's going to get the volume. There's a lot of mouths to feed in Cleveland. They have an excellent running back. They have an excellent up-and-coming tight end, in my opinion. They have Jarvis Landry in the slot, who's, a superstar. They have Beckham now. So the two things for me are availability and volume. And Nuke is well ahead of Beckham in both of those things. Talent-wise, excitement level, I mean, they're both superstar players. There's no doubt about it. But for me, I want the guy that I can count on playing every week. And Nuke was banged up a lot last year. He came out, I think, just like a week ago or whatever, 2 weeks ago, and said how banged up he was. He was playing with some type of injury. I don't remember what it was, but he's available. He didn't miss a game.
Thoughts, Swags?
Yeah, all that's definitely tough to argue. I would not put so I'm sitting here the whole time wondering if I'd even put Odell Beckham Jr. in my top three or four, though, to be completely honest with you. And I mean,
yeah.
Crazy.
Like, honestly, like, if Odell was still on the Giants, I would honestly be more willing to move him up right now. The fact that we have absolutely no idea what the hell is going on in Cleveland, like, it to me is a bad thing. Even though he's going in with Baker, who I freaking love, on what should be a much better offense than he was on in New York, it's the known versus the unknown. Like, this could just completely fall apart on them, even though it looks great on paper. So I love Odell. He'll always have a special place in my heart. He's absolutely not the wide receiver one right now. Next point, Kittle goes a full round ahead of Ertz when they were back-to-back in May. Do you have Kittle, Swags, do you have Kittle over Ertz in the first place? And if you do, what's the difference between the two of them?
I would still go Ertz.
I still have Ertz over him, too.
Well.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're just going to move on because that's.
I'll take Evan Ingram over Kittle as well.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you down on Kittle or are you high on Ingram?
The guy we were just talking about is gone. You look at what happened in Evan Ingram's rookie year, and I know there was tons of regression last year, but seasons like Evan Ingram's rookie year don't just happen. They started to trust him. I think he's going to be heavily targeted. I think there's going to be some Kittle regression. Tell me the last time Kittle played with Jimmy G. Has it ever happened, for that matter? A couple games?
I mean, for like a game?
Add some weapons maybe? Into that team. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen there? I think there's so many question marks with the 49ers offense. And yeah, I'll take Evan Ingram all day.
Cool.
I'm not saying like easy button all day, but swag on the play. I'll take some Evan Ingram there.
Cool. That's interesting. I like that. It's different. I like it. I'll take it. So we're going to go a little off the beaten path here. This isn't on the show sheet and I did this on purpose. If you out there listen to the Fantasy Football Breakdown, which you
we have a show
should,
sheet.
Damn it, Swags. The one I sent to you this morning that I feel so taken for granted right now.
I do so much work for you guys.
So, as I was saying, if you guys listen to the Fantasy Football Breakdown, which you absolutely should, at the end of every show, there is a 2-minute breakdown where there are 12 questions for the guest or, you know, Swags and Two Drink just to each other. I don't have the fancy sound effects and I'm not actually going to time this, but a certain friend of yours that will remain nameless. Yeah. We'll let you figure it out. Gave me some questions to give you.
And
we're going to turn this into a 2-minute breakdown. Okay.
I love it.
I feel like we need a wonderful little.
And now your 2-minute breakdown.
Nice. I hope that actually comes through on the recording. I don't know if it will, but he played his sound effect. When does rookie fever for this year stop and for the next year start?
I have rookie fever until like after the Super Bowl, and even until I don't think they're rookies until they're drafted. There's still Debbie playing. I think we get a little bit ahead of ourselves and try to like plan landing spots. And I think my rookie fever, like I wanted to be talking to Ridley about like Calvin Ridley way longer than Michael Finero did, for example. But we had to switch it up a little bit to appease us both.
Oh, dude, you can talk about Calvin Ridley all day for me. Keep trade cut. Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, Lamar Jackson.
I'm going to trade Lamar Jackson because I can get the most for him. And I'll keep Dalton because I think he might actually help me this year, and I'll cut Mariota because nobody wants him anyway. Probably pick him back up.
Moving on. One thing you like about having a show sheet compared to no show sheet?
I am more comfortable with no show sheet. If I get a show sheet too much in my head, like I'll have really good ideas all day long that I want to make sure that I get into the show. And then when it's time, I'll either forget that idea or my thought process isn't good enough to have it transpire through words as well as it has in my brain all day. And I'll totally mess it up because I planned it so much that I'm like, oh, I'll say this and that and this and that. And it's going to sound amazing. And then it just sounds like just too premeditated, and I can never, I don't know. Yeah, it's crappy. We're never going to make 2 minutes. Here comes the bomb.
Oh, yeah, no, it's gone. We did. Yeah, I need to write stuff down, at least just topics. Otherwise, I freeze. And then I'll just
Yeah, and I don't mind a guide, honestly. I don't mind a certain like guide or something like that. And I don't mind notes, honestly, but they can get too much in my head, I've noticed.
All right, team slow draft versus team fast draft.
Team slow draft.
What months is it acceptable to say it's only June?
Never. We all know what month it is.
So Everyone. It doesn't matter for you that if it's, you know, April and you shouldn't need to be in a rush. You're drafting, you're in a rush.
I don't mind taking our time, or I think both sides just shouldn't be douches about. I think that it's just all about respecting both sides of it. You and I have gone back and forth on this, Russ. I think it's just about like showing respect to both sides. Like, we don't agree. Like, there's no utopia for a slow draft. Like, we do it slow because we can't all get together, and the fun would be to all get together and do a live draft, whether it's on the internet or something like that, but we don't have time for that. So
we all enjoy
drafting. We all enjoy the leagues and getting together and all of that, you know, and there's a busy life. Like, busy life comes when, if somebody has that going on, I'm like, that's all that comes first. And you don't want to rush a draft, but you don't want to flaunt that you're going slow either.
Okay. Why do you believe that James Conner isn't anything special, even though he had more touchdowns last year than Bell has ever had in a season?
Now, tread
Samuels
light.
And tread. Hashtag Snell, yeah? Huh?
Tread lightly here.
Yeah. Snell, yeah. We'll just say Snell, yeah.
I definitely needed to make sure to read this one out loud at a time where Brian could react to it.
I'll just use the argument that everybody uses, and every running back can be good in that offense, right?
Brian, why is your face getting so close to the camera? It's really freaking
me out.
Okay,
I backed off.
Lions talk. TJ Hawkinson, wake the F up or shut up? Shut up.
Wake the F up.
So is that a good thing? So you were in on Hawkinson,
yeah,
right?
Man. Wake up. It's Hawkinson time, yeah. The Incredible Hawk.
Kenny Golladay versus Marvin Jones this year.
I had a huge rant. Yeah, you'll have to go back and find it. Kenny Golladay, or I'll take Marvin Jones.
Ooh. Like it.
Yeah.
Which boy band has 2 drinks seen in concert?
Backstreet Boys?
His answer was, yeah, self-incriminating here, but 98 degrees crushed it.
same thing though, right? Like, same thing.
I mean, they all were the same.
I got that one.
Are you going to let us know which boy band?
Yeah, let's pause for just a second here on the boy band stuff. So that statement that you just made, that they are all the same, is horse crap. So that's all I'm going to... That's all I'm going to... That is literally... No.
You're not allowed to just end it there.
No.
Tell us who your favorite is.
No, that is where this ends, okay? On
Look,
air.
If you told us that, that's what would make you larger than life.
No. I just threw up a little bit.
Everything else was okay until that.
Yeah.
Should we move
that's,
on?
That, that, let's that move on. Do? Yes, let's move along.
Okay.
So you're not going to tell us who you've seen?
Hell no. Are you kidding me? That's like suicide on here.
2 drinks was willing to fess up.
Well, 2 drinks is drunk all the time, so.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
He has an excuse.
So due to...
I bet he didn't accidentally buy those tickets. Yeah.
I forgot what the original tweet was, but you were tweeting out today, Swags, about tight ends. So that gave me an idea for a floater sinker pinch, because I think you talked about all 3 of these guys. So again, floater, you're going to float out those trade offers. Sinker, you're going to drop them because, you know, they sink down. And pinch, you're just going to hold on tight. Noah Fant, TJ Hawkinson, Dallas Goedert. Swags, go.
Oh, man. Dude, it's so tough. Like, and because I like all of these guys a lot.
Yeah, I wish I could remember what the tweets were, but I write it and I'm like, oh, open up Shoshi, got to put this down.
So, I think the guy that I don't like the way this is going.
Love it.
So with pinch, like, and the word hold, like, I feel like I have to hold Dallas Goedert just because I don't feel like he's appreciated yet. but then I end up having to drop one of these guys who I value a lot. I feel like Noah Fant has a really decent trade value right now. That he, it's almost like peaked, like he's done something. There's nobody in the way for Hockenson or Fant, so I think he can get a little bit more. I think I'd probably trade Fant, drop Hockenson. Oh my gosh. And I'm holding Goddard, I guess, just because the value's not there. But then I just dropped Hockenson.
This I love that we put you in a position game. To drop someone that you just said you love and is going to do well.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about Goddard for a second. We have been talking under the assumption that Ertz was probably gone after this season. And we completely missed, apparently, that Ertz restructured and is going to be on the team for another 2 years. So, I mean, are we holding on to Goddard for 3 years, hoping something happens? Is that where we're at now?
I'm not. I mean, I think he's going to be utilized right away, right? I mean, he was a tight end 19 last year with Ertz.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I say that all the time, so I'm not trying to be a broken record. But that was his rookie season with a very high-profile tight end in front of him. He had some tight end 1 weeks with Ertz.
Do we think him being a top 12 tight end is sustainable with Ertz still on the team?
No. Ertz, no. That I don't. But do you think Ertz plays the whole contract out, or is just not going to get
it's
hurt?
It's one of those, it's a 3 year thing where he's probably gone after two. So that's what I'm saying. Are we holding on to Goddard for 3 more years?
But here's the thing.
So, yes. Yeah, so,
Go ahead.
No, you can go. I'm just.
So my question is, would you then
pension, yeah.
sink Goddard so you can pinch onto.
I feel like Hockenson. Kind of talking me into pinching off Goddard dropping Goddard and pinching Hockenson, trading.
That's the direction I go now after. I hear like 3 podcasts tell me how wrong we've been as we've been saying that Ertz is going to be gone after this year because that's not going to happen anymore. I think Goddard lost all of his allure in a 2 tight end league. I'm sure he'll be useful, which I hate 2 tight end leagues, but like
they could trade him. Patriots will probably give a first for him or something.
N'Keal Harry, their new tight end.
Oh man, that'd be beautiful.
I mean, I feel like he's going to walk into a lot of Gronk's work, right? I mean, he's the big dude on third down to throw it up that he'll catch. He's the big dude in the end zone because he'll throw it up and he'll catch. The only thing that's really different is he'll also get like bubble screens because he's good after the catch, as opposed to Gronk, who just took 8 guys to tackle him.
Wait, who are we talking about? I totally...
And dinner with Tom Brady.
You got to keep up.
Bro. Who?
Talking about N'Keal Harry. Yeah, see, didn't you wish you didn't ask?
Yeah.
All right, so floater, sinker, pinch these 3 guys. Fant, Hockenson, Goddard. Brian.
I will float Goddard right now because I think that I still think that there's a lot of people in the mindset of he was the tight end 19 and they're not aware of the restructure. So I would float him. Now, here's the thing about that, though. I'm buying him back. I'm trading him right now, and a year from now, after Zach Ertz has another tight end, top 3 tight end year, I'm buying him back at a discounted price because he's going to be. Listen, you're talking about holding.
You're telling me that you think you can get more for Goddard than you can for Fant or Hockenson?
No.
Then what are about? Then why wouldn't you drop Goddard, pick him up later, and then trade away Fant or Hockenson, who can get more for instead of dropping Hockenson or Fant?
Because
he
they
wants
both,
to buy Goddard back cheaper later after he disappoints.
Right. They both have those other two. So here's I'm dropping Noah Fant.
You're putting Noah Fant.
I'm what?
What are you doing?
I am sinking.
Thank you.
Noah Fant.
I could yell at you. You should know these things.
I should. Until they get a QB. I will pinch Hawk.
There you go.
So when I first looked at this, I love Dallas Goedert. I absolutely love him. I just think if I can sell him now and buy him next season, again, after Zach Ertz is killing it again for the third straight season, then I'm doing that because I'm going to be able to get a return that's higher. You know, I'm going to buy him for lower than what I'm selling him for. So that's why I said it that way.
Okay, that was fun. Okay, we are going to do one Trade Addicts trade, then we're going to take a listener question or two, and then I'm going to hopefully hit the stop recording button before I fall asleep.
Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 for tight ends and 0.05 points for return yardage. Trade Addicts 6, David Johnson, Jarvis Landry, and a 2024th for Julio Jones, Latavius Murray, and a 2023rd. Now, if you guys had your show sheet open, you would have seen this, and you wouldn't need to sit and stare at it while I ramble so you guys can comprehend a little bit further.
I have my show sheets opened.
Same here. And
so it was this was two drinks trade? Who else was involved in this? Are we allowed to say?
Me. It was me.
This was you, Brian?
No, me.
Or Russ? Russ. It was you, Russ?
Yep.
So I like the Julio side of this.
Okay, you're wrong. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I want the DJ side for sure.
Whee! Okay, Swags, why do you think the Julio side?
A lot because of Julio Jones. He's by far, to me, the best player in this trade. I think that Landry is probably... I want Callaway, the second wide receiver in Cleveland, not Jarvis Landry. And David Johnson, he's a little old for me. And honestly, Latavius Murray is going to put up some points in that offense behind Kamara. Whether we like it or not, he's going to play that Ingram role. And I think it could be kind of decent, man. Latavius Murray's not as crappy as we want him to be. He's not David Johnson, okay? I'm not saying that, but...
I agree with you. The Saints can do one thing. They can open up holes for their running backs, and Latavius Murray can run straight really fast. So, I mean, he's a perfect fit in there. I did what you're not supposed to do. The Trade Addicts leagues, it's a start one minimum at each position, and I had zero starting running backs. So I traded pretty much Julio Jones for David Johnson, and then grabbed Jarvis as my depth fill in for getting rid of my stud wide receiver. That's what this was.
So I'm not a David Johnson guy.
I love David Johnson. I've always liked him.
Took a lot of crap for that on Twitter the other day too. Are you going to get Chase Edmonds?
I mean, I'll probably try and do that.
I think you should.
Yeah, I was about to go into a whole handcuffing thing, but I don't really have the energy for it. We'll have to do that in another show.
but Chase Edmonds, I think, is going to show value right away. It's not just I don't think it's just a handcuff. Like that's going to be his counterpart. I think that he could really see some use right away, like low end flex play.
Well, yeah, I guess now that you make me think about it and say it out loud, the fact that Kingsbury plans on running a ton of plays. I mean, DJ can't be. It's easy for DJ to be out there for every single play of McCoy's offense because there was like 18 plays a game. But now that they're going to be running this fast offense, Edmonds will probably see a decent amount of snaps. So, yeah, it's a good idea. Maybe I should go after him. All right. I'll take a day or two to edit this before so I can send some trades out. Brian, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so for me, I'm very high on David Johnson. I think, you know, he averaged 3.6 yards per carry behind an awful, awful offensive line in an offense that literally – you and I, Russ, could have sat here and told you what the next play they were going to run was probably on 70% of the plays. So, you know, the fact that this offense is going to be completely different, you know, the offensive line, it really, I find it very difficult to believe it will be as bad. I don't know that they've addressed it enough but it, I just can't imagine it's going to be as bad in this system. You have an electric quarterback that's used to running a read option that can chuck the ball. They are going to run a ton of plays. David Johnson, I believe he legitimately has a shot at 1,000 and 1,000. So because of that, I'm taking that side. Here's the thing. I'm not as huge of a Jarvis Landry guy as I might have been in the past. I liked him in Miami. I think he had a very high floor in Miami. You know, the Cleveland stuff, I don't know. And with them bringing Odell in and Nick Chubb running and Baker spreading the ball around, I just don't know. I'm kind of with Swags there. Like, I don't necessarily think that Landry holds the same value that he has held previously. Having said that, I think he holds enough value that it pushes me, you know, Julio and DJ are pretty close to me and they're both getting up there, quote unquote, in age. Okay.
Yeah. Especially given their perspective positions. Like when you point that out.
Sure. Now, the one thing we have to remember with DJ is he literally played one game in the 2017 season. So in terms of wear and tear, he's one season less than his age would indicate as well. Okay. So the same thing that Le'Veon Bell has going on, essentially. Now, you know, I have so many opinions on that. I don't even want to get into that.
Why would you even bring him up?
Well, I'm just saying the wear and tear stuff, you know, I mean, he sat out last year, so he doesn't have that year of wear and tear on his body. Same thing with DJ with the wrist injury. He sat out the whole season, essentially. So he's 27 years old, but he's in a 26-year-old's body. Whatever. Anyways, again, I think this offense is going to be, I think, especially over the first half of the season, I think the offense is going to be, it's going to take some time probably for defenses to adjust, just like it did when Chip Kelly came in and did all his stuff. I don't think it's going to take maybe a full season. So DJ may be a guy I'm looking to move halfway through the season, but I think for the first half of the season, at least, he's going to be a really, really solid own, in dynasty leagues. So I would side with that side. I love Julio Jones, one of my favorite all-time players. So it's close. It's close. But I think I would lean DJ side. I think Jarvis Landry's value, not the way I value him necessarily, but his value still in the community would make me lean that side because I think it makes up any very incremental difference between Julio and DJ.
I mean, the truth is I had Julio. I ended up with Julio and AJ Green on the same team. And I freaked out about having two very old wide receivers. So I had to get rid of one of them. That's really where this started also. But we're going to move on to a listener question that is sort of relevant to this conversation. Do you scream listener questions? Is that a thing? Do you want to do it? You're not listening. Okay.
Me?
Nah, Brian. You want to give us the listener questions?
Oh.
Do you want me to? I mean, I can.
We're talking about it long enough. You might as well.
Is there one in here that is supposed to be...
Just say listener questions in their deep voice.
Listener questions!
Thank you.
I'm our soundboard, Swags, if you haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, you have your nice fancy things. Yeah, we just have Brian say stuff.
Yeah, I'm a listener. Yeah, I love it.
Our boy FF Briefcase.
Do that with my voice, quite honestly.
Oh no, Brian has those deep tones that almost no one can match.
Yeah, I love it.
You should hear me sing boy band songs in my deep voice.
Well, there's our new penalty for Amari Cooper getting 2,000 yards.
Oh my gosh! All right,
I'm going to start a GoFundMe.
Moving along.
Briefcase wants to know, I know I shouldn't be worried about the construct of my roster this time of year, but at what point of the year should it be a concern? When do you start thinking about your starting lineup?
14 days. I'm sorry. 14,
no, you go ahead.
14 days before the season starts.
Yeah, let's say like week yesterday. Yeah, preseason. Really? You're thinking about your starting lineup already?
I mean, not my starting lineup, but I mean, every move I make is leading to that direction, I guess. And there's no time like now to get a trade done. I mean, don't be the guy in your league that is griping about a trade that got done when all you need to do is start talking to some guys in your league. And I don't know, if you're after a player and you want Rashad Penny and then I go get him, it's going to be harder for you to get him from me than it was the guy I just got him from. So, yeah.
Well, no, this is more of like what we'd run into a lot is I'll offer somebody a trade and they'll say like, no, I'm too weak at wide receiver three to do this trade right now. Like, what are you about wide receiver three right now? You're not setting a starting lineup for the next 2-3 months. Like, why is that even in your concern? You trade it for value. Yeah. Like, when do you start thinking about, man, okay, so I've been doing everything I could in the offseason just to amass value, but now I have to worry about the fact that I need to start 2 running backs and I only have 1 decent one, so maybe I need to diversify a little bit and get me a running back. Like, when does that process start going in your head?
No, and I've heard you talk about this a little bit too. I think for me, it also depends on the league, not to cop out. Like, if you're in a league, though, that's not very active and you're planning on trades to get done to build your lineup, you might want to be a little bit more ahead of that curve.
Yes,
but if absolutely. You are in a very active league where you feel like you can get something done, like, I'm all about, like, not worrying about it and, ooh, I want to get this deal done, I'll worry about tight end later, but I've got to do this deal right now. I'm definitely not going to not do a deal because it leaves me weak at a wide receiver 2 or 3. I'm just going to get it done and worry about that later. Chances are I just acquired enough assets or now made some wiggle room, whether I acquired another running back or quarterback in a different area where I can go get a deal done with those pieces now. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I wasn't listening. No, I really was. I was kidding. Buck Rogers at Rogers_Buck1. How high is the rookie fever on DK Metcalf? 1 being ice cold and 10 being thermal hot.
I'm gonna say like 9, but it's only because I want to leave a little bit of room to grow. Otherwise it'd be a flat out 10. Like I love me some Metcalf. Absolutely. I like him with Russ. I mean, as you very well know, Baldwin is gone. I think that that's one thing we don't talk about enough when we talk about Lockett last year. And I like Tyler Lockett, but he didn't have a Baldwin. So this year he's got a DK Metcalf with him. And I'm very curious to see what happens with that offense. But I think Metcalf's the kind of guy that 2 to 4 plays and he could win your fantasy league for you that week.
Yeah, I think the two of them, I think Lockett and Metcalf, I think are going to alternate having either 2 points or 22 points.
Oh, I hope it's not that bad, man.
I realize they don't play the same game, but the same style of game. But the reason everyone has in their head why Tyler Lockett put up the points he did last year is what I think DK Metcalf can walk into next year.
Yeah.
But Lockett came into the league as a route runner, not as a deep threat. So I think there can sort of be a middle to meet at. So I think that I wanted AJ Brown. That's not a secret, just because I wanted a bigger, better Baldwin. But I'm a little worried of Lockett running over the middle, but he's a good enough route runner that he's not going to be just a deep guy, where DK will need time to work on his route running. So for now, he can just run straight really fast.
Right.
Or
grown on you a little now, or?
I don't know. I've never disliked him, but I don't like change. Change scares me. So if I could get a guy that just resembles the last guy that was there, I'm happier with it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not upset about having Metcalf on the team. I think it's awesome. That's end of sentence.
And in terms of like, if we're talking like NFL prospects and landing spots, like I'm with you. Like, give me some AJ Brown there, but I'll take Metcalf over AJ Brown for my fantasy team today. Yeah, I don't know if I'm looking too much at the now versus being patient on what might happen with the Titans and the quarterback situation there, or if you need Corey Davis and AJ Brown to completely be at the end of their rookie contracts and on a new team. But give me some Metcalf all day.
Brian, DK.
So I'm sitting here looking at statistics for these guys. Well, not for these guys. Obviously, DK doesn't have any NFL statistics yet. But I'm specifically looking at Russell Wilson. Guys, Russ is really freaking good. Like, he's so consistent. It's ridiculous. When you look at season to season, he's so freaking good. Anyways, sorry. That was amazing. I was sitting here looking at the numbers, and it's just ridiculous how efficient he is. So, I like DK. I think he's probably going where he should be going in drafts. That middle of the first in rookie drafts. And obviously we're probably well beyond rookie drafts at this point, but you know, I think that's probably where his value is in the class. I don't know. I think you're right, Russ. I think it's going to be week to week. I think one week it's going to be Lockett that has a big week, and then the next week it's probably going to be DK. So I want to own Russell Wilson in Dynasty Leagues so that I can get all those points, because I think that's where the consistent production lies. If I had to pick one of the receivers, I'll pick Lockett just because he's been there and he's not a rookie. I'm more interested in that running game and seeing which one of those running backs really emerges, as far as chasing production in Seattle.
Okay. Jay, Briefcase is actually in the YouTube chat.
What's up, Jay?
One of the perks of being a Patreon member, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. And he adds to his question, if you wait too close to the season, do you think you lose leverage when trying to trade for a position that other teams know you quote unquote need? Yes. I think that's a little bit part of it. I think especially when teams come to you, if I were coming to Brian knowing he needed a second running back, clearly not in my leagues, but, you know, if we're in a league that needs to start two running backs and he has David Johnson and Jordan Howard and then a bunch of nobodies, I'm going to overcharge on my original offer to see if I can get him to get desperate. Now, a better player in a more active league shouldn't fall for that. But your average Joe in your average league absolutely will. He'll get scared of not being able to start who he wants to in his, second running back slot. And chances are he'll pay a higher price to fill that slot. So yeah, I think it does make you a little susceptible to bad deals. How do you feel about that, Swags?
Well, yeah, I agree. I think it also depends on how much have you advertised your needs and have you made a big deal about it to your league? I mean, even you can put somebody on the block even too much to where they start to lose value within your league. Like, you might value him the same. They might value him more in other leagues. But the fact that they know you hate Damian Williams and you're trying to get rid of him, you're depreciating his value every time you put him on the block. Same with whereas if you go and, I still need a tight end, still looking for a tight end, like, it kind of can become a inside joke to the league, and you can totally hurt yourself and then make them pay up. I mean, at that point, you might just want to back off and even try to find your players as a throw-in, go after David Johnson and see if you can get Gesicki thrown in or something like that. Don't have the tight end be your target. Have a stud player on your team and then see if you can sneak that tight end in there. Maybe it's not the tight end one that you've been trying to get from people all year, but they're not messing with you right now anyway. So maybe lower your expectations a little bit. Maybe you're asking too much,
My move is the play it cool move. It's always, you need this sec. You need this running back. What, are you going to start Jordan Howard? Yeah, I did that on purpose. Yeah, no, I'm all about starting Jordan Howard in my running back two spot. And that's complete BS because I mean,
I love Jordan Howard. What do you mean?
Yeah, he's the cornerstone of my team. Like, yeah, I mean, I refuse. I can't help it. It's in my dinner to keep along with our Disney theme. I can't. If I'm overpaying for somebody, I want it to be because I want that person, not because I feel the need to fill this slot. If it takes me 2 weeks of having a bad running back two in there for me to get a good deal to get a running back in there, I have to have enough faith in my managerial abilities that I can pull through the rest of the season. Can't help it. Anything to add, Ryan?
Yeah, so two things real quick. First of all, Jay's one of the coolest dudes out there. And he's like under the radar. Like, people need to start following this guy. He's really smart and he's super awesome conversation.
At FF Briefcase.
Yes, thank you. But I think for me, it has to do with the league you're in, right? So, in the Trade Addicts leagues that we talk about all the time on the show, obviously, it doesn't matter because you can start one running back, you know, and seven wide receivers.
Yeah, that's why I had to keep saying.
Right. So I think
where you have to start to.
Right, exactly. So I think it just matters. You need to know your league settings, obviously, and your, you know, what, how many starters you need at each position, because it makes a huge difference. In the Trade Addicts leagues, it wouldn't matter at all. I mean, you're not tipping your hand because it doesn't matter whether you start two running backs and six wide receivers or seven wide receivers and one running back. So, but in leagues where you do, yeah, it can definitely, I mean, you can definitely hold on too long. I still am not worried 2 weeks out, though, because I think too many people set themselves up. They become less flexible because they have their starting lineup on the paper in late July. So you get into those early training camps, and then the training camps, maybe you see a first preseason game and you're like, oh, I'm set. Like, my roster's set. I'm not making any moves. Well, if you're totally closed off to making any moves, you're missing opportunities to make your team better. Now, you know, are you worrying about your starting lineup? I mean, yeah, you got to have players to put into those slots when the games start, right? I just don't, just personally, I don't panic about it. I wait as long as I need to, you know, and when I get 2 weeks out, then I start pushing and I start making moves. You know, maybe those thirds start flying a little bit easier off of my team than they would have, because they always seem to get deals done. I don't know how that works, by the way. I've been trying to figure that out over the last couple of months, but thirds get deals done. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, or even just like find some of those cheap stashes too, and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, we talked about George Kittle a lot today, and that guy was like a fifth-round rookie pick. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen if you go get somebody like Drew Sample, but, I mean, that guy was drafted to the Bengals' second round. He's a blocking tight end. I think he's going to be on the field, like, stash some of these guys. They're not the studs you're after or the guys you're trying to trade for, but maybe you have something in your lineup that gets you 5 points instead of zero, and then something will hit the waiver wire. Other teams are going to have needs too. You're not the only one with needs in your league. You never are. But go get Tyler Croft.
Broken foot. Yeah. Now. All right, fellas, I've hit my wall.
No.
I'm falling asleep.
You didn't even know the question that it says, do you sleep?
Cause the answer is yes.
Rush,
I need to.
Oh, I love it. Love it.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, sometimes, yeah, kind of.
So real quick, we can do this real quick. So Fugazi sent two questions. One was, "Do you sleep?" And the other one has to do with what time of year is the best time to make trades in Dynasty.
And I think that's why I answered my first question, because I kind of was looking at the show notes there. So yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, right, hashtag brand all the time, right? It's like Princess Poppy and Trolls, man. It's always hug time. It's always trade time. Go make some trades right now.
If you
today.
Were always hugging, you wouldn't have time for singing and dancing and scrapbooking.
Oh, did we just hug over the internet?
That's what just happened right there.
You guys are cute.
No, but I mean, his question's a little more in depth than that. I believe you can get great deals on good players coming off of disappointing seasons, the day the league opens, trading, or disappointing seasons where it's still fresh in people's minds. Like, after a player's injured, do you trade for him right away? See, this is why I was saving this for later, because this is like an entire show's worth of question.
Oh, yeah.
It's, we can get back into it, too.
I won't delete it. So, Fugazi, we're thinking about
like contention, too. And I mean,
yeah, there's a bunch of questions in here that we are saving because they all fit together and they all shouldn't happen an hour and 40 minutes into a show.
I'll always try to trade, though, but I'll never trade to trade. That's one thing I try to not do.
Oh, like, I super do that.
I try to make sure that even though like a player has value, that I'm going to be okay being stuck with him. Like, I don't want to trade just because I know you guys like a certain player. And then as soon as this deal's done, I'm coming to Brian and I'm getting this deal done because I know he likes this player. And then I go to Brian and maybe he doesn't feel the same about him anymore, or we just can't figure out how to get it done. And then I'm like, shit, man, I didn't want this guy. I knew I was going to move him, and now he's on my team. I don't want to be in that situation. So never trade to trade.
See, I'm okay with trading to trade as long as the value still goes in the right direction. I'll trade to trade, but it's not stupid trades. I won't trade something that's going to hurt my team. And, well, I guess, what you're saying hurts your team a bit because you're getting stuck with a guy maybe you don't think is very good because you just thought you could flip.
Yeah, I value IAPs.
You what?
I value, like, IAPs. Like, I want my team to look a certain way to me. Like, if I have something on there that makes my team look ugly to me, it's going to bother me, and I'm going to try to move it until I finally sell low just because I want it off my squad.
Yeah, I've been there with that.
So... yeah, if I don't want something that I don't like the way it looks, makes my team look. And that may be silly, but in Dynasty, I want to go after players that I enjoy owning or that I believe in a lot, you know? So, I don't know. Like, Damian Williams was somebody that even though I got on the cheap last year, like, he was somebody that I was totally willing to let go way cheaper than market value just to get him off my teams.
Uh-oh, Aaron Jones dropped his body fat to 5.3%. Apparently body fat is a new thing to have news about. Thanks, DK Metcalf.
Damn, we missed it.
Okay, but no, for reals, I'm tired. I want to stop now. But before we actually do sign off, Swags, let everyone know again who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
I'm at DFF underscore Swag. I mainly just talk now. I need to do a little bit of writing and stuff, but you can hear my voice at FF underscore breakdown, fantasy football breakdown, at Rookie Fever, that is Rookie Fever, and at Super Flex Pod for everything super flexible. Yeah, I'm DFF underscore Swag. Yeah, I can't even say my own tag.
Yeah,
thanks a ton for having me on, though, guys. Super good time.
No, we've
sorry wore you out, Russ.
Yeah, man, it was good times, winky face. We've been meaning to have you on. Like, it's funny, like, I had this sheet going where I sort of kept my schedule going, and at the bottom of that sheet was like people that we have been meaning to have on. I think you were like the first name on that list for a long time, so we've been meaning to have you on for a while.
It's saying that I forever. Literally, like, to the world, I'll admit it, like, I DM'd Russ one day and I was pretty much, do I have to Suge Knight my way onto your show or what?
And yeah. I told him yes, because it's really the best way to do it, because I am terrible otherwise. And it worked, so there you go.
So, Suge Knight, shout out.
Well, thanks for coming on.
When's the last time Suge Knight got a shout out?
On a fantasy football pod, I think. Might be a first.
OJ shouting him out next week.
Oh, that's a... Damn it, Brian.
Gronk, don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Swags, man. Thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. It was awesome to have you on tonight.
Oh, absolutely, man. Thank you. You guys will have to come on Rookie Fever or something. We'll do some rookie trades or something.
You know, time absolutely. And place, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But before we sign off, tradeaddictspod.storeenvy.com. Buy some awesome shirts and a coffee mug, and that's what we sell. Buy the new awesome silicone wristbands, you're showing to a screen that, you know, not enough
people
can. Well,
the two of you can see.
If you go to patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you'd be able to see the wristbands that he's holding up to, well, was holding up to the camera. He's taking his hand. There they are again. You'd be able to see that either live now or after we're done. You still have access to that link to watch this unedited. Well, I guess to be fair, most days I don't feel like editing, but you know, in case anyone drops an F-bomb, you get to hear it, I guess.
I tried so hard.
Who does that?
Oh man, I left that. You have no, like, we've got so much positive reaction to you dropping the F bomb that I think we need to make you do that more often.
Do it, Brian.
Oh, I was fired up last week. Oof.
All right. Well, on that note, night, Brian.
Night out, house.
Nice wax.
Trade Addicts t-shirts, though. Those are hot, man, for real. Super comfy, too.
Indeed.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian RFF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.